Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com.
Brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors hitting the All-Star break and the acquisition of Andrew Wiggins, how that's going so far. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Ray, the All-Star break is here, and the Warriors go into it at 12-43, the worst record of the NBA. But still, there is optimism, especially after this trade for Andrew Wiggins, because I don't know how you feel, but I think after that first week, he has shown not only his scoring ability and a pretty good three-point shooting stroke, but also he's hustling back on defense, and he's making some block shots, and he looks like he's a good fit, at least so far in a small sample size.
Yeah, he seems to be within the flow of the offense, with a few exceptions. Some of it having to do with not knowing your teammates. The skill level, we can see it there. His shot selection has been real good. He's got 69 points on 40 shots so far. He'll take that and run with it anytime. So, early on, the signs are encouraging. You want to see how it goes when Steph Curry gets back. That'll be something to be interested in toward the close of the season. And, it sounds like in about 3 weeks they're going to reevaluate Steph, and if everything looks good, he's going to play some ball in March. So all you can say is so far so good. He's on a team that pretty much has rent-a-player in all the other positions just about. You got Pargo coming in. Haven't seen him in the league in a long time. Actually had a pretty good game in Phoenix. So, it's going to be hard to really understand what it's going to be like to play with this team until you get all the usual suspects in place. But I think that you see why the Warriors like this guy as a positional fit with this team. You see that he has the ability to play defense, and he's not been rated very highly in his career in the league, but a little bit better this year. And I think, with this team, it's going to be impressed upon him. You want the minutes. Even with your salary, you want the minutes. You got to play some defense. And I think with Draymond there, with Clay there, that'll definitely help him as well. So, that's about all you can judge on so far, and that'll be one of the interesting things to look at with this team. The three questions are, does Steph come back? Number two, does Clay come back? And how close to being the worst record in the league are they going to be at the end of all that? And I guess the first question is how we can fit in with all those guys.
Well, they've definitely tested him on defense already. Because he was guarding LeBron James quite a bit, and Devin Booker, and Booker still had a really good game. And by the way, he did deserve to get on the All-Star team and was put on there after the injury to Damian Lillard. But he just looked like an All-Star anyway. But I don't know if you saw the Steve Kerr comment talking about how it took 3 months for Kevin Durant to acclimate to the Warriors' style. And that's why I think Kerr is happy that the Warriors made this trade now rather than making it in the summer, because at least he gets some time to have Wiggins acclimate himself, like you said, get used to his teammates and all that. So it could be valuable for the Warriors that they did pull off this trade now.
Oh, for sure. That's one of the blessings of doing it now instead of the off season, and so you don't just throw everybody together at the start of next season when the games are presumably really going to mean something again. They mean something now, but they mean something different now. You get that trial run with him, and so that's I think going to be invaluable. And you can see there are times where he is falling back on what he knew in Minnesota, where he was supposed to be on the floor in Minnesota, and he was probably at his best as a catch and shoot three, or slashing to the basket, well, he's going to be asked to do a few different things here. There's going to be a lot more movement. He'll still get catch-and-shoot opportunities. And like I said, his shot selection's been pretty good so far. Hasn't had as many mid-range jumpers. And as he eliminates that from the mix on this team, he could be a real effective player for them. He's a pretty good three-point shooter, not great. And maybe he gets some better looks with the Warriors, with Clay and Steph on the floor, a little more space. But also understanding that when he doesn't have the ball, where is he supposed to be? What kind of screens is he supposed to be setting? Saw a couple of times where he picked up on that pretty quickly in the Phoenix game, but that just comes with time. And so that's what it's all about here for the next couple months.
Yeah, I mean, he really seems to fit in. I mean, you know, to have him out there on the wing without putting too much pressure on him to be the guy, which was the situation pretty much in Minnesota. I mean, I just think he's really going to fit in well. Right off the bat, you could tell that, he's not going to be that one-on-one player. I mean, yeah, D'Angelo Russell, he can score. We loved watching him putting up some pretty big numbers at times, but once he got the ball, I mean, that was kind of the end of it, where it just slowed down, whereas it seems to me like Wiggins is interested in moving the ball the way Steve Kerr would like.
Yeah, he's not the ball-dominant player that D'Angelo was, and, you know, D'Angelo can do some things with the ball. We know that. He's a guy who can create his own shot, and there's some value in that, but it wasn't really going to help much on this team. And, you know, there are some things they were disenchanted with Russell as far as his effort level, especially on the defensive end. Well, what level there was, sometimes there was none. And I think with Wiggins, what we've seen so far is just trying to find his way, but there seems to be a pretty good effort level there, and that darn well should be. Like I said last week, he's got the golden ticket. So is he going to be Willy Wonka or Veruca Salt? So far, he's Willy Wonka. And so, I hope that continues. He really understands, you know, what a great situation he is in now. He doesn't have to, like in Minnesota, there were times he had to be the guy, right? And so he had to do things with the ball. He had to take over. Doesn't really have to do that here. He's a third option. You know, basically, he's going to end up being a third option, a pretty damn good one, I think.
Yes, he is. I think he's definitely going to be somebody that fits in well. Meanwhile, you know, at the All-Star break, you're kind of thinking to yourself, okay, who are the guys who are the keepers from this long season of a lot of losses? And I'll tell you, Marquese Chris has stepped up in a great way in recent months. Give him like a full month where he has been impressive. He's blocking shots. He's dunking the ball. He looks like he has a little more finesse to his game as well. He can go back and forth, toggle between the finesse guy a little bit and then the guy who's the power guy. So he's been impressive. I mean, he's just come a long way in his career from where he was before when he played for the Suns. I mean, they were probably looking at him saying, man, we don't recognize this guy. And I think he's going to be a big part of the future. What do you think?
Yeah, still pretty raw when he got into the league. And then bouncing around, that wasn't good for him either. But again, in a situation where it was pretty clear after a few weeks that he was the guy that they're going to be interested in. And of course, they, because of a roster squeeze, they had to let him go. But fortunately, they got him back. And, you know, against Phoenix, 18-12, you know, 7 for 11 with the field. I think, you know, for Draymond, for Steph, for Clay, they're very interested to see how this guy continues to develop. And, you know, maybe they don't need to draft a 5, right, like James Wiseman. Maybe this is the guy who has, again, some experience playing with the Warriors now, understands by this point of the season what they want coaching-wise and what the system means for him. And it's a little bit of the JaVale McGee role from a couple of years ago, only Chris can be on the floor walk. And, he's no doubt the athleticism there and the ability to block shots. He can shoot too, but I mean the main role here is catch lobs and hit the glass and D up and be a little bit of a rim protector. So that part I think is a very positive development for the Warriors on the roster going forward. And yeah, this was the guy they wanted to keep around. You know, you're looking at Pascal, you're looking at Ty Bowman. Kevon Looney didn't play and Phoenix did the sore left hip. You hope that's not a lingering issue going into next year. It's just been kind of a lost season for him. And then, you know, you got Pascal, who as a rookie is going to have on and off nights, but it's been pretty impressive overall. And then there's Jordan Poole. And, You know what? Since he's come back, not quite as awful. And, you know, a first round draft pick, so they're going to keep him around. And And again, this was the year to sort of crash and burn, you know, and then try to come back. And I think he's done that to some extent. But, there's still some rough times, no doubt.
Well, I have to keep reminding myself that he's only 20 years old, Poole. I mean, you know, he'd been playing in college still. What would he be, a junior right now? And, you know, he doesn't have the confidence to be a full-fledged NBA player right now. You know, I know he can shoot, but a lot of times, right, he just doesn't look comfortable taking that NBA three. I mean, it's his first year at the NBA three line, and it just seems like he's pretty far off on a lot of those shots. When he misses, he misses badly, and I think he's got to work on it a lot more because that's what he does. I mean, he's a guy who can hit threes. I mean, that's what he came into the league as being known as, a guy who can hit from deep, and he's got to work on it, I think, for next year.
Well, sure. I mean, it's not only the amount of misses, but I think if you gauge the actual total number of feet that he's missed shots by, he might be the NBA leader. It's been rough at times. But, you know, mixed in there are some pretty good games as well. I thought he had a real good game against the Lakers, for example, that they were very competitive. They lost 125-120. He put up 19 points. He's developing a little more consistency. And, I want him to go through that this year and come back next year and be an option who can score coming off the bench. That's what they want from him, a little bit of the energy, an instant point guy. And I think they look at Damian Lee in that way as well.
You mentioned Pascal, and you can't help but be impressed with him. And, of course, around the league they are. The assistant coaches voted him in to play in Friday's NBA Rising Stars game. And the thing that's most impressive about Pascal is how tough he is inside. I mean, he's out rebounding guys that are bigger, and he scores inside by being nasty, really. I mean, you know, he just sticks his head in there. He's not afraid of anything. And a rookie who was not drafted in the first round, he was a second-round pick. So I think he's exceeded expectations so far. What do you think?
Yeah, for a 41 overall pick,
yeah,
you got to like what he's brought to the table. And, you know, as we said before, with his style of play and being a little bit undersized, you just wonder year in, year out, how the body's going to hold up. He's very strong, there's no doubt about it. But because of that style of play, I think there's going to be times where he's going to be out of the lineup. And so you've got to regulate the minutes, I think. I don't think that does come a point where he could be a starting forward with this team. It's not going to be in the next couple of years. But still, it's valuable having these young guys around and getting this experience and showing that they're not overwhelmed by the NBA because, again, the roster, the salaries are going to be so top-heavy with this team. They've got to fill it in with these young players on relatively inexpensive contracts. And he's one of those guys that can plug in there and play.
You know, Joe Lacob, the owner, was at the game in Phoenix, and I was wondering, does he go to a lot of road games? Well, then it turned out that he did fly Eric Pascal from Phoenix to Chicago on the private jet. So that must have been nice for Eric Pascal to be on the private jet with an owner in Joe Lacob, you know, so that he got the, you know, the celebrity treatment right there.
Yeah, they both like him. I can't imagine there was a little Scottsdale time in there for Joe Lacob as well. I have a place down in the area, and Scottsdale is kind of the Beverly Hills of Phoenix. That's where a lot of the Hollywood types and the high-toned people hang out. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lacob had a nice steakhouse meeting there while down with the Warriors. But, you know, another thing about Lacob is, he's aggressive, right? And so he decides he wants something. It's usually going to happen. And
yeah.
So I think that they look at Pascal as a very important piece, and they want to take that opportunity to impress that on him. I think they're in a position where they can add a veteran or two this summer. It's just that they didn't want to be a salary cap or a salary tax repeater, because that penalty, I don't care if you're a billionaire, I don't care if you're Joe Lacob, I don't care if you're Michael Bloomberg. You don't want to pay, you know, 60, 70 million in extra taxes if you can avoid it, especially in a year when you're not going anywhere anyway. So I think they've set themselves up for that, having executed this trade with D'Angelo Russell, and they can use the mid-level exception And, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't look like they're going to have a shot to bring Andre Iguodala back. Well, they did bring him back, but he was with Miami.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was a nice ceremony, too, for him.
Very nice and well-deserved. He's an interesting guy, isn't he? He's not a guy that he's not a bullion. He's not chummy and buddy-buddy with everybody. But I think he's authentic in his own way. And he can be a little curmudgeonly at times. But I think what the fans saw on the floor, they really appreciated over the years and understood that, you know, he was kind of a basketball purist. And what he did fit in so well with the Warriors. And he said it after the game that this was home. You know, even though it's no longer Oracle, he's talking about the Bay Area. It's always going to be home to him. So a guy who doesn't always get close and develop strong personal and emotional connections with people, I think he had that in the Bay Area. And I think he'll come back here after his career is done.
Yeah, I mean, it's saying that his favorite moment was Steph Curry winning the MVP. That was interesting because I thought he was going to say it was him winning the MVP of the finals.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was like the high point in his career. And I sure remember those finals because I was there in Cleveland. We were doing the post-game show. Fans were wondering if they were going to start Iguodala, which I thought might be a possibility. I wasn't sure, though, that Kerr was going to shake up the lineup. And indeed, he did. And that was the turning point. And that got them the championship. They won the next three games. And Iguodala was playing as well as he ever has at both ends of the floor. This is what he is. He's a team player. Always has been. And I think fans get that and they appreciate that. And I think it's why he's loved in that building and why the Warriors wanted to make sure that he knew that love was there for him and that appreciation was there. And, you know, for Iguodala, he was one of the real building blocks. Once they got Iguodala in that trade, they were able to get that done. They took a big step up.
And his number is going to hang in the rafters, number 9.
No doubt. And he belongs in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind about that because, again, with the Hall of Fame, it's not just what you do in your pro career, and he's done enough, right?
Yeah.
But also his collegiate career and with the Olympics. And you look at everything and the finals MVP, you take all of that in totality. And the fact that he's been able to last as long as he has, the level that he's played, to me, he's a no-doubt Hall of Famer, what he's contributed to the game. And by the way, he's also a Hall of Famer for being able to swing, not playing for half a season, and getting down to Miami and getting the deal you want. if you're a player, you've got to give him mad props for that. The fans in Memphis may not like it so much. The players in Memphis may not like it so much because they didn't get his services when they needed it. But I think in his point in his career, and that's the way the NBA is, and different than other leagues, it's so much a player-driven league compared to the other ones. And you get to the point in your career where you can call shots, well, you call shots.
Dubs OT continues after this from Kane's Tire in San Rafael.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Speaking of calling shots and the owner, we mentioned Joe Lacob. Speaking of owners, I thought it would be good to finish up the podcast by actually talking about another sport and how you don't handle things as an owner. And I'm talking about the big story of the day here on Thursday was Jim Crane, the Houston Astros owner, at spring training when they were having a press conference supposedly to apologize for what happened with the sign-stealing scandal. Instead, he turned it into a laughable moment, and I'm using some words that were actually in headlines today and some of the newspapers. Laughable and really, I think it's just so inexcusable to be saying that the impact of the cheating scheme was minimal And it ruined the entire moment there as far as, you know, issuing an apology. And it was just the opposite of what you wanted to do if you were the Astros. So they really handled that poorly today at the Astros spring training.
Yeah, that was the sorry, not sorry moment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was minimal impact, why'd you do it?
Exactly.
That trouble.
Why did you do it?
Knowing what kind of penalties, or maybe you didn't suspect those kind of penalties would happen, or didn't think you'd get caught. I mean, that was on the list of things that Jim Crane could have said today. That was one of the worst, if not the worst. I was thinking to myself, well, I guess it'd be worse if he said, yeah, we did it, so what? But I don't know, these days that seems to work out pretty well for some people. I don't know, maybe people wouldn't have cared about that. But, you know, it's kind of what they were saying. It's like, you know, just flat out lying. I mean, he cannot seriously believe that it had minimal impact. And if he does, then it's incredibly tone deaf. When you look at the reaction from players around the league to this, I think in some ways this is worse than the steroid scandal. And now, on top of that, you put a cloud over this franchise for a long time to come, and he did nothing today to remove that cloud. This calls back to a century ago in the Black Sox scandal. The integrity of the game, you want to believe that it's being fairly contested. And to try to minimize it when there's just a raft of evidence that there was definitely an effect, and especially opposing pitchers could tell you that. I've been saying all along, Joe, that I don't think you can strip teams of championships. It's kind of hard to go back and unring that bell or unbang that trash can. But after what Jim Crane just said today, I'm almost for it. I mean, that's just brazen, what he said. So I don't realistically think they're going to change anything. Rob Manfred is okay with changing everything else in the game of baseball, but I don't think he's going to change the result of the World Series. There's just going to be a whole lot of bitterness there. Of course, if you're a Giants fan, you're saying, well, it deprived the Dodgers of the championship, so what do I care? You know, I mean, it goes back to, and, you know, we talked about this in all sports. And, you know, how often do we say that in basketball, that there's some cheating scandal, aside from, you know, way back when, you know, point shaving that was involving the mob in college basketball decades ago, where you say that the actual integrity of the game is at stake? I guess that would be with Tim Donaghy.
That would be about it, yeah.
And you know, David Stern, we recently talked about his passing, and that was a very ugly time. And, you know, it was kind of defied credulity to say that Tim Donaghy was the only one involved. And we'll never really know, unless somebody speaks up, if there were other referees involved. I know that Tim Donaghy was on the phone with a couple of other refs during that time. And I know there are a lot of people in Sacramento who feel very bitter to this day. They will not turn the page. I think it was on the 0-2 Western Final with the Lakers, that they feel that they were jobbed on that. Because, well, you've got L.A. and you've got Shaq and Kobe versus a little bit in Sacramento. And a lot of people felt like, you know, there was not any league's interest to have a small market team in the finals like that. I don't know about that. I mean, you had Utah in the finals two years in a row. But, you know, I think that anytime you have something like that going on, you've got to address it. You've got to address it in the strongest terms possible. Baseball didn't do that with the steroid scandal. So, you know, they put it on the players, but, you know, baseball was as much to blame for that as well. The NBA, I think, you know, left some things unsaid about, you know, the referee scandal with Tim Donaghy, although in Donaghy's case, he definitely bore the brunt of it. He probably should have.
I think that, you know, in this case, you just have to own it a little bit to say that it didn't impact the game. And then, of course, he turned around like a minute later and said, that I didn't say that. I didn't say it didn't impact the game. So, I mean, he was really confused about how to do it, but I think that it was pretty disingenuous when you heard that press conference, even from the player standpoint, trying to say that they were apologizing. It sounded like Alex Bregman was reading from a script, you know, and everybody was criticizing him for that. But later on in the clubhouse, actually, some of the players did sound a little more contrite. But, I mean, the bottom line is, in any type of situation, whatever sport it is in, or even if it's not in sports, if you make a mistake, you own it. I think people will forgive you eventually. But when you come out and say, you know, that it didn't impact the game, boy, it just turns into a disaster as far as a public relations issue.
Well, you know, I mean, fess up early.
That
would have been the lesson for somebody like Barry Bonds, for Richard Nixon, for anybody. The people will forgive you if you say, well, this is what I did. It went sideways. Was, you know, trying to compete, and I got overboard. It won't happen again, blah, blah, blah. But instead, if you let it linger on, and then you try to obfuscate, or you move the goalposts, you know, people get even more suspicious of the situation. And so the Astros did not help themselves. And you know what? The other thing is, the front office has to take the blame for this. Carlos Beltran had to take some blame, and he ended up losing his job. And then they start fluffing it off to interns as well. And I thought that was pretty weak. The people responsible have to pay for this. And, I think baseball still has some work to do on that, because it sounds like, from the stories I've read in the past week, that it's going to be a little bit wider, that it's going to be a little bit more involved than what we've heard so far. And so you want to put that fire out before it becomes a conflagration, like it did become in Major League Baseball, like it could have become in the NBA. Again, people have a right to expect the games are being competed and contested fairly. And, you know, I understand it's a high-stakes business. There's a lot of money involved. There's a whole lot else involved for the winners. But that still has to be the goal. And, you know, it's a winner-take-all society in many respects. And so people either lose respect for the rules or just kind of look at them as an inconvenience. But they're there for a reason. You start losing that respect for the rules, but start losing that mindfulness for the rules of tears of the fabric of everything you're trying to do.
Yeah, something to definitely remember going forward. Hopefully there's some lessons learned. Well, happy All-Star break, Ray. Got the All-Star break, and then we'll come back shortly after that.
Oh, my God, I need the rest. I don't know about you.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.